You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Are you ready to rock?
Initialize sequence.
What is this, some kind of sick practical joke?
Ooh, yeah! I bet that pizza tastes good.
This is where the world of pop culture and talk collide.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together.
I'm a little bit frightened of you, and I like the feeling.
This is the Adam and JP
Adam
Show.
Adam and JP Show.
Groovy.
I love geeks.
Well, hello. Look what you found. The Taboo Tuesday edition of the Adam and JP Show.
You said Tuesday, not Tuesday.
Tuesday! We're in the South.
Yeah.
If you can't tell.
Taboo Tuesday.
And we say weird things here, like Tuesday.
Or my family, instead of Saturday, we've talked about this before, says Saturday.
Wow. Yeah. That is a weird pronunciation.
Saturday?
Saturday.
Not that much twang. Saturday.
Saturday.
Nah. Saturday.
Saturday.
A little more Cajun to it, Saturday.
Saturday. What?
Saturday.
That's a hillbilly trying to do a French accent.
Saturday.
Saturday.
I Saturday. That just got stupid. I'm sorry.
Saturday. I've realized that people in the South don't, and I'm guilty of this as much as anybody.
What's that?
Don't properly enunciate all the time.
Oh yeah, that's my forte.
It's very lazy.
Consonants are a must. Vowels, meh.
Eh, it's here or there. Pick your poison.
Yeah.
And what happens is, a lot of times, you'll know people that have a pretty pronounced accent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already accustomed to not enunciating everything anyways. So when you get them cracked up, per se, and they start laughing, and that mouth doesn't come open all the way to begin with.
Just consonants.
And then they try to talk through it. It is some of the funniest stuff you'll ever hear. That's how you get somebody like Boomhauer.
It's true.
On King of the Hill.
The way he always talks is the way those people laugh and talk.
Because he'd be like, what?
That's totally true. I almost made a full conversation out of what you just said is the funny part.
What did I say?
I'll tell you later. It's kind of gross.
It was kind of gross. Hey, and some of the news stuff that I wanted to talk about on Friday, but I don't remember what we talked about. Suicide Squad, maybe?
Suicide Squad, No Man's Sky on the PS4 you should have played.
Ghostbusters.
The Olympics.
Oh, the Olympics.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith announced on his YouTube channel, if you're a fan like I am, mm-hmm, of Kevin Smith and the CW show, DC shows, he's going not only direct an episode of The Flash this year, he's also going to direct an episode of Supergirl.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, nice, nice.
So that was good Supergirl news. And then they announced they're going to do a crossover episode, which is good, but it's going to be a musical.
What?
Well, because both of those kids are from Glee.
Oh, weird.
Grant Gustin and Supergirl.
Grant Gustin was in Glee?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So they're both Glee alum. So
I
they're going to
watch
do...
Glee. I'm really confused right now.
Hold on a second.
Wait.
Hey, you know,
wait,
yeah. You know I'm a fan of musicals. It's out there.
You watched Glee?
Yeah, I love musicals, man. I'll admit that.
I mean, that's fine.
I'm a musical fan.
I don't judge.
I don't
judge Glee, man. Glee. You never watched Glee?
With my wife.
You never
she was a fan. As a matter of fact, somehow her iTunes.
Her iTunes now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
There's some songs on my iTunes that I think she downloaded for her phone. And I want to say there's a Glee song on here.
They had a fantastic rendition of Rocky Horror Picture Show on Glee, you know.
Did they do the whole Rocky Horror Picture
Show? For the most part, they did. Yeah, they had a whole episode, put out the full album from it. It was good. Yeah.
Really?
If you like Rocky Horror, check out the Glee version. Not bad.
But wouldn't they do, like, current songs, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do it all.
So, I think there's one on here.
I had no idea Grant Gustin was on Glee. I guess that were like the later years, maybe?
Yeah, I get so frustrated when this comes up in Shuffle. You love this.
No. That's Finn. He's dead now. He's dead.
What about this one?
Hey, John Stamos is on there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
This was you.
No, it was not me.
This was you just a few years ago. You were rocking out to this on the way to work.
I'm not rocking out to it. I wasn't that big of a fan. I was aware of the show and I sometimes watched it.
Okay.
Well, I loved it.
Yes, Grant Gustin was on there.
Didn't know that.
Also Supergirl.
Has Kevin Smith given his review on Suicide Squad yet?
Mm-hmm.
I saw the link, so I know it's happened, I guess. I just didn't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
What are his thoughts? Have you seen or listened?
Yes, I watched it.
What did he say?
It was dope.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He liked it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
That was in one word.
Huh.
And pointed out why he liked it.
Huh.
I think it's fair to say he enjoyed that from the first viewing more than Batman v Superman.
Yeah, he kind of didn't like that so much.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So.
Interesting. But he did create Yoga Hosers and Tusk, so keep that in mind.
That's true. And his daughter's name's Harley Quinn, so.
Speaking of him.
Is he going to say he hates a movie that features a character that he named his daughter after?
There was, I guess at San Diego Comic-Con, after a viewing of Yoga Hosers, there was someone in the crowd that had a live Q&A afterwards, and one of his fans, so-called fans, attacked him and his previous and current choices in filmmaking. I showed you the video.
Oh, you there. Sent that to me.
Yeah.
I think no one can.
Reasons like that are why I like Kevin Smith so much.
I mean, he was emotional with the guy,
uh-huh.
was honest with the guy, and offered him his money back out of his pocket.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
It was very, like, if someone came to me, like, I don't know if I could handle it like that.
Mm-hmm.
He handled it very well.
Have you read his book?
I have not. I need to, though.
Well, the book that came out a couple of years ago. Uh-huh. With all things Kevin Smith, you know, you have to be warned that it's not family friendly.
A little vulgar.
It's very vulgar.
Uh-huh.
Very, very vulgar. But there's some good stuff in there. Some good lessons you could take out of things that he's experienced.
Really?
Especially that whole stuff with Southwest Airlines.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting
story. That
was
a big deal for him.
He was huge.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended. But
if you have a chance, check out that Comic-Con stuff for sure.
Yeah, you can find that on YouTube,
uh-huh.
that video.
Yeah.
So The Rock is in a series of films called Fast and Furious.
Right.
So is Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Vin Diesel's been in them longer.
Yeah.
Apparently, The Rock and Vin Diesel are feuding from the set of Fast 8 or whatever it is.
Really?
Fast and Furious. Yeah. Did you see The Rock sent out something on Instagram about how he loves all his female co-stars, but he said some of the male co-stars are not professional. They're too chicken shit to do anything about it.
Wow.
And they're all a bunch of candy asses.
Wow.
He was talking about Vin Diesel.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's his beef there?
Apparently Vin Diesel doesn't show up on time and, you know, doesn't get to the set before 10 a.m. and that sort of stuff.
His name is Vin Diesel.
I know. He's Groot.
He is Groot.
Yeah. Maybe he was voicing the many aspects of Groot.
Yeah, maybe there's a new...
For the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
It's a possible new Iron Giant doll coming out. He's got a lot of work lined up, you know?
It's possible.
Yeah, there's a new Triple X coming out. I know that.
I did see that.
I've never seen 1 minute of any Triple X movie. Well, not labeled Triple X.
Not with Vin Diesel in it.
Yeah, exactly. Or Ice Cube.
oddly enough.
Yeah.
Triple X.
Oh, man.
We talked last Friday about possible problems with the Suicide Squad movie. Geoff Johns on board now, hopefully riding the ship at the DCEU.
Right.
Suicide Squad making a ton of money. And then DC announced middle of last week that this direct sequel to Man of Steel has been activated.
Mm-hmm.
It is now in active, like, development. So
how long will that take? I feel like, 2013? We see a Batman v Superman logo?
I just think it's no matter what, they're not giving up on these movies. Yeah. I guess because they do make money.
They're making money. It doesn't matter what the people think.
Yeah. So the DCEU, I mean, obviously the MCU is in no danger of going anywhere anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're really good and they make a lot of money.
Right.
The DCEU makes a lot of money, but usually leaves people lukewarm to meh. But they're not giving up.
Right.
I just wonder if Wonder Woman and Justice League flops, will Man of Steel 2 become inactive and will they kind of go back to the drawing board?
It's possible. I'm afraid of the future, what it holds. I've been saying that for the past 3 years, but now I mean it. With the Enchantress and the introduction of magic into DC movies. Now, soon, in a few months here, we have some Doctor Strange with Marvel. Do you think that kind of magic introduction is going to be a problem with that?
I think that is a problem. Yeah. I think that is the challenge with these movies. I mean, you know, in Marvel, it goes back to something we've talked about on the show a couple of times, and that is the Marvel Universe started with Iron Man.
Very real. Very
well, for all intents and purposes, yeah, started with Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Some say Hulk, but...
Yeah.
Because some argue with it, the Incredible Hulk was a sequel to Ang Lee's Hulk.
Right.
Which I don't believe to be.
But. No.
So for all real purposes, Iron Man began the MCU. And everything in the Iron Man movie was based in technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about technology. And then the Incredible Hulk, though fantastic, was still technology. And then we meet Thor. And Thor begins to introduce some concepts that aren't so technology-based. And because it took three movies to get to that point, you're okay with it. And then by the time, you know, by the time we get to the Infinity War, we're totally into the idea. Or even Doctor Strange this fall.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, what, 12, 13 movies to get accustomed to the concept of magic being an entity in these universes. So, or in this universe. So I think DC should have done the same thing. I don't think Enchantress should have been the villain in this movie. I think it should have been someone else.
That was rough.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't done very well, too. Which it seems like Marvel's just going to be, it's magic.
Yeah.
Or Inception.
Oh, come on.
You choose. Hey, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
You know I love Doctor Strange.
Looks fantastic.
I just hope they keep it. Because part of the charm of Doctor Strange comics is that whole kind of weird feeling you have.
Like the when 70s mysticism kind of thing?
Yeah. And it's just kind of got like a gritty underworld feel to mm-hmm. it. So I hope it keeps that edge.
They're good about separating themes and all that. I mean, if you think of how Tony Stark in his lab flirting with Pepper Potts is the exact same universe as a talking tree and a talking raccoon.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine, but done by themselves is proper. And eventually they'll all meet up.
And by the time we get there, it's so the table has been set in such a way, it's not a stretch
yeah.
to believe.
Yeah, I think it'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. And I think DC just they just rushed everything.
They did.
They're like, hey, we did a Superman movie. All right, here's what we're going to do. Are you ready, guys?
Yeah.
Batman, Superman, exactly. Lex Luthor.
Suicide Squad, seven people.
Doomsday. Like, why?
Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Piss, green tea.
Go. Film it.
Make it happen.
Have we got a script? Doesn't matter. We start filming Tuesday.
Wheelchair, bomb, fire, no one cares. Okay, let's hit it.
And
KGBs, throw them in there.
Yeah.
Olsen, put them there too.
Hey, I read something this week. Speaking of DC stuff.
What's that?
You're going to be excited to know Duff Lundgren
yes.
is going to be a villain on Arrow this season.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Got to start watching these shows again.
He's going to be a Russian mobster, I think.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Better than Mark Colley. Which is a Punisher reference, if you don't know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All
those classic, just random assassins coming after that first Punisher.
And John Travolta was the main bad
don't
guy.
Don't forget Kevin Nash.
Oh,
don't
yes.
forget Kevin Nash.
Wearing the tugboat outfit.
Doesn't he die by falling down the stairs?
Yes, he does.
What a way to go.
At least Mark Colley gets to sing a song.
Yeah, he gets that sweet knife in the neck.
That was...
I enjoyed that Punisher movie. I'll say it again.
I liked that
as much
Punisher.
As we can easily bash it, I enjoy it.
I liked that one.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I would put that up there. As far as like late 90s, early 2000s
yeah, that was good.
Films.
It was well done.
That was good. Mm-hmm. It was better than Blade 3.
Yeah, we can say that.
Yeah.
Even Triple H couldn't save it. And his Jared Leto Joker fangs.
But I think Blade 2 was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. And that's a weird time to think about now.
Yeah, it's odd.
When it was just kind of random superhero movies.
X-Men, you had no idea what was connected. X-Men, Spider-Man.
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider, yeah. Yeah,
that's
Punisher.
It's a weird time for comic
Blade,
book films.
Yeah, Daredevil, Elektra. You had no idea what was intertwined.
Daredevil and Elektra were in the same universe,
right.
But it wasn't a cohesive comic book universe
no.
where other things existed.
Mm. I never saw Elektra. I have no plans to. Was Catwoman... Halle Berry's Catwoman in any kind of universe whatsoever. Did she have her own Catwoman verse?
Kind of.
Ooh.
Kind of.
That's rough.
Did you see the official trailer for Luke Cage?
I did. Like that a lot.
That's going to be a great
show.
I'm
excited. That's my birthday weekend. That's what I'll be doing. I'll be inside just doing that all weekend.
So next year we should get 3 Marvel Netflix shows?
Maybe. We have, is Iron Fist next year?
Because it would have to be Luke Cage, then Iron Fist, then The Defenders.
Yeah.
And then Daredevil season 3. And Jessica Jones season 2 is coming.
Are those official, you think?
Yeah, I don't think Daredevil season 3 and Jessica Jones season 2 will be next year.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
So just Iron Fist and Defenders then?
No. Iron Fist would be at the beginning. Uh-huh. Defenders. I guess Daredevil season 3 will probably be after the Defenders.
But shouldn't Jessica Jones, time-wise, before Daredevil?
You would think. Well, maybe they will do Jessica Jones, and then Jessica Jones would be like the aftermath of But once you put the Defenders together, how do you have all these solo shows where they're all in the same, like, 5-block radius?
Yeah.
And they don't bump into each other afterwards.
I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Touchstone Pictures?
I am, very much so.
I think you're more familiar than you realize.
Yeah, it's tough. We tried, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, to pinpoint some of our favorite Touchstone movies.
Right.
I couldn't think of any, but I know I have that vision just ingrained in my skull, in my head, in my memory of that Touchstone logo coming together and enjoying what happened afterwards. I just can't really nail down what movies those were.
There are so many Touchstone Pictures that are actually Disney movies.
Right.
They're all Disney movies.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous. We're going to talk about Touchstone Pictures, and we're doing it for a reason because, I don't know, I think most of us have seen a lot of Touchstone Pictures in
our
time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it could be going away very soon.
That's sad.
So we're going to touch the stone.
Ooh, next.
The Terminus Doctor Who Podcast. Queer. Opinionated. Whovian. Female. The Terminus Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and many other favorite podcatchers. You can find us online at terminus.libsyn.com or on Twitter at terminuscast or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/terminusdwpodcast or finally on Tumblr at terminusdwpodcast.tumblr.com. Be sure to check us out there and subscribe to keep up with new episodes. Alonzi.
Now, this is going to seem really weird. Hey, before we get into this, can I tell you something I'm super excited about?
Please do.
And you're going to be excited when you hear this.
What's that?
Pip is back, my friend.
Oh, is it?
Picture in picture.
Really?
At least DirecTV is trying to bring it back.
Talk to me about it.
I had new boxes installed this week.
Yeah?
Which, I got to tell you, the DirecTV guy was nice, not happy about working for DirecTV and AT&T.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
He just seemed... I don't want to go so far as to use the word disgruntled.
Well, he works for both?
Yeah, because AT&T bought DirecTV.
I didn't know that.
It's all one big company now.
Really?
So I was making, you know, like conversation. I'm like, so, you know, with AT&T buying DirecTV, you know, things better? No. If better is working 6 days a week and 70 hours, I guess it's better.
Wow.
Okay. I'm not really good at small talk.
Is the Dish Network still a thing?
I think, Dish is still a thing.
Uh-huh.
Because what we did is we had our boxes replaced. So we could get the Genie, which allows you to record up to 5 shows at one time.
Because
we could only do 1 show and watch a show.
Yeah.
Which
you're going deeper in the hole. You got to cut that wire, man. You're going deeper.
It didn't cost me anything.
You're going deeper.
No, because here's what you do.
Cut.
When you're a paying customer, you call up and you say, yeah, I'm dropping all my movie channels. Oh, okay. Well, hey, let's do this. Whoa. Before we start talking about dropping things. What if we gave it to you free for 6 months? Okay. All right. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
What else can you do? What if we replace your boxes? We see you haven't had a hardware upgrade. What if we replace your boxes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like the DVR.
Do you think you'll ever cut the wire?
I don't know. I want to.
Yeah.
But it's so convenient. It's so convenient to watch things when they're on television or to just record them on a DVR.
Yeah.
And, you know, by negotiating, by threatening to quit.
All by threats.
You know, you get the bill lowered to a reasonable amount. And you get free hardware. Like, it didn't cost me anything to get everything upgraded.
It's a scary sign. I didn't know that that merge happened. That's scary. If everyone's buying stuff up, then at the end you'll have one major one that will charge what they want.
Right.
That's a scary thought.
And that could be Disney. And we'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
But with the new hardware, one of the features, and the guy's like, hey, do you remember picture in picture? And I'm like, oh, yeah, like where you would have the small picture.
Yeah.
And he goes, that's back.
Wow.
I was like, really? He goes, yeah, but on the new TVs, it's kind of picture beside picture.
Nice.
So on the TV screen, you get two channels.
I love Pip.
Yeah. There's two channels at once.
I've only seen it
it's
as
like
part
Back
of
to the Future
TV
2.
Feature. That's awesome.
The other night, I was watching the Olympics. I was watching Michael Phelps.
And Nails.
And the Atlanta Braves. The Nail? I was watching Nail?
No, Nails, you know, from Back to the Future 2.
Oh, yeah.
Nails.
Jodie Foster? I was watching the Olympics and Nail. Because I am a huge Nail fan. You have no idea. Chick-a-bay. Yeah, I was watching the Olympics and the Braves at the same time. So, Pip is back.
That's awesome.
It's not really picture in picture. It's picture beside picture.
Yeah, gotcha.
So, this is going to sound
PDP,
odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. It is kind of like that.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Touchstone Pictures.
Nothing wrong with that. Don't be ashamed.
Is, you might think, why are you going to talk about that? It's because this arm of Disney, like Disney owns Touchstone Pictures. And what they would do is, it started in 1984, and it started for the reason by Disney CEO Ron Miller to allow Disney to release movies that weren't G-rated. Because at that point, if it was a Disney movie, it was going to be a G-rated live-action film, like the Apple Dumpling Gang, or it was going to be a Disney animated, mostly Disney animated movies. So by forming Touchstone Pictures, it allowed them to go out and buy films that had been already shot that they wanted to buy and distribute, or it allowed them to sink money in with partners, with production partners like Silver Screen or DreamWorks later on, and actually produce movies for Disney that weren't family friendly per se. Well, most of them were family friendly, but
even then, PG is pretty tame.
Right. It allowed them to do PG and R-rated films. It was so successful. Touchstone Pictures were so successful that Disney continued this. And after it was formed, it was kind of formed when that Disney CEO was leaving and Michael Eisner was coming in. Michael Eisner wanted to change the name to Hollywood Pictures.
Ah.
But then they ended up forming a production company called Hollywood Pictures that is also Disney-owned. Miramax Films was a Disney production company. So technically, when you want to get down to it,
yeah.
Clerks is a Disney movie.
That's crazy.
Pulp Fiction is a Disney movie. It's just released under different banners.
Mallrats.
Mallrats is a Disney
That's
movie.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
That was during the Miramax years.
That's crazy.
So yeah, in 1984, would you care to hack a guess at what movie from 1984 was the first Touchstone picture?
84. I have no clue.
Splash.
Really?
With Tom Hanks.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
Splash was the first film released in September of 1984. Or March of 1984.
Wow.
That was the first Disney Touchstone movie.
Huh.
Through the 80s, I'm going to throw out some of these movies to you.
Okay.
Do you remember Baby, Secret of the Lost Legend?
I do not.
About the baby dinosaur?
No. Oh, yeah, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Disney movie.
I forgot about that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie.
Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Touchstone Pictures. Ruthless People.
Yeah. Those covers remind me of each other.
Uh-huh.
Very similar covers.
The Color of Money.
Yep.
Outrageous Fortune.
Don't know that one.
Ernest Goes to Camp.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Ernest got in on the Touchstone
in 1987. Technically a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, man. These are some of my favorite movies of all time.
Stakeout.
That's the first time I ever saw Thor was in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First appearance.
Which is Vincent D'Onofrio, a.k.a. Kingpin, by the way.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Stakeout. I don't know if you remember that one.
Was that? I remember Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like undercover cops.
Underneath the bed in the cover.
Yes. Yeah. That was the cover.
Yeah.
Can't Buy Me Love.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Dempsey with the lawnmower. Ronald is a high school student trying to win over her love. Sorry.
There you go. Can't Buy Me Love.
There you go.
3 Men and a Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Man, these are all, huh.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit was a Touchstone movie.
Interesting.
Let's see here. Cocktail. With Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton. I'm trying to hit the... Ernest Saves Christmas in 1988.
Ernest is deep in the Disney.
Yeah.
Why is there not more Ernest P. Worrell stuff at Disney World? Tell me that.
I don't know. I do not know. Well, because you weren't ever supposed to know that Touchstone Pictures were actually Disney movies.
Right, yeah.
They were not branded as Disney in any shape or form. That's why Touchstone existed. Three Fugitives. Do you remember that?
No.
With Nick Nolte and Martin Short?
Maybe I do.
Dead Poets Society.
Oh, wow.
Beaches, one of your favorites.
Oh, Beaches.
Turner and Hooch.
Hate that movie.
Why do you hate that movie?
Have you seen the end of that movie? That's why I hate that movie. There you go.
That is sad.
That's why I hate it.
Do you remember the movie Blaze?
Oh, I love Blaze. We've talked about that before, right?
Have we?
Yeah, I think so.
Your love for Blaze?
I love Blaze.
What is Blaze about?
That's the a politician basically falls in
love.
Paul Newman. The politician falls in love with a lady of the evening / stripper named Blaze. It's a good story. It's a heartwarming tale for the whole family.
Is it for the whole family?
Well, for my family, it was.
It was based on the 1974 memoir.
Really?
Blaze Starr, My Life is Told to Huey Perry by Blaze Starr.
I'm
Huey Perry was Paul Newman's character, right? I guess.
I can't believe how many Touchstone movies I grew up with.
Yeah, and that's just through the 80s.
Yeah.
We haven't even started in the 90s
yet. Wow.
Starting in the 90s, Pretty Woman in 1990.
Wow, yeah.
Ernest Goes to Jail.
My favorite one.
Spaced Invaders.
Oh, really?
Do you remember Spaced Invaders?
I love Spaced Invaders, yeah.
Do you remember the plot of Spaced Invaders?
I mean, not besides them crashing to Earth, and it's around Halloween time, and the sheriff's son takes them in as a friend, and that old deal.
I remember the aliens looked terrible.
Well,
everybody thought they were in Halloween costumes.
Yeah, yeah. I was 8, and it looked awesome to me.
Dick Tracy was a Touchstone
Man,
picture.
Loved that as a kid, too.
Mr. Destiny. I liked Mr. Destiny.
I know you do.
Why?
You love Mr. Destiny.
I do love Mr. Destiny. What's wrong with not liking Mr. Destiny?
Nothing wrong with it.
James Belushi?
Yeah.
Michael Caine's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Other 1990 Touchstone movies. Three Men and a Little Lady. The sequel to Three Men and a Baby.
It's gonna happen.
What about Bob?
I love my last favorite Bill Murray movie.
I'm Sailing.
I'll stand by it.
I'm Sailing.
It's a good one.
Keep sailing, Bob.
Richard Dreyfuss is never my favorite leading man, but he's always a good supporter.
Mr. Holland's Opus. Come on.
It was all right. I mean, it was good. I was a band guy, but it was good.
The Rocketeer.
Ah. Aha.
Now, here's an interesting. It was produced in conjunction with Walt Disney Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And
I always thought
Silver
that was,
Screen.
Yeah, I thought that was more of a Walt Disney thing.
So here, like, you can tell that, like, they're like, okay, well.
They're kind of pulling the curtain back.
We want to put a little Disney spin on The Rocketeer in case it's successful, and we want to incorporate it into the theme parks. Ernest Scared Stupid.
Man.
Billy Bathgate.
Don't
was
know
a Touchstone
that one.
Picture.
Don't know Billy Bathgate.
Farther the Bride. Sister Act.
Wow.
Three Ninjas.
Oh, I love Three Ninjas.
This is why I wanted to do this, because I knew these are all the movies you love. The Gun and Betty Lou's Handbag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a Touchstone picture. Captain Ron.
Oh. That may be one of my least favorite movies of all time.
Really?
It's just.
It's right up your alley.
Is it? Maybe I should watch it again. I saw it when I was 10-ish, and I should see it again.
I mean, it's Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
He's the cool guy.
Is Captain Ron the cool guy?
And Martin Short is the family man.
Never been a huge.
Is that the one where Martin Short gets stung by the bee in his face?
That's Pure Luck.
Oh, that's Pure Luck.
Right. With Danny Glover.
Sorry. Not sure if that's a Touchstone picture, but we'll find out.
I'm sure it seems like it. He's in the helicopter and he's swelling up like Tim Allen and Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Probably the same makeup job, actually.
Around the same time, right?
Yeah, a few years before, yeah.
What else is on here? Another Stakeout. The sequel to Stakeout. The Nightmare Before Christmas in 1993.
Uh-huh. That's how... They probably did the same thing with that, hence the Disney love for it.
Right, exactly. Well, actually, the production company behind The Nightmare Before Christmas was the Skillington Productions.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah. Huh. Cabin Boy.
Oh. Ooh. Chris Elliott?
Yeah.
He should not be here. Make him go away. That's one guy I've never really found funny.
You want to buy a monkey?
Strong Hand is the best thing he's ever done from the Scary Movie series.
Well, he was good on the late night show.
Yeah.
And he had a Fox show that wasn't bad.
With Bill Murray's brother.
Yeah. Brian Doyle Murphy.
Yeah.
Murphy.
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 Yeah.
I remember that. Brian Doyle Murphy. Oh, wow. Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
Yeah.
From Touchstone Pictures. Do you remember The Ref?
I do remember The Ref. The Christmas Caper with Dennis Leary.
Yes.
Nick knocking the chair over with the gun and the tied up people.
And Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that was a Disney movie.
That's crazy.
Renaissance Man.
Ah.
It's Pat.
Ah.
Was a Touchstone
picture.
I love
It's Pat.
Wow. Ed Wood.
Ah.
Ed Wood.
Did you ever see It's Pat?
No.
Okay, well, never mind.
Saw it. Saw the poster.
I recommend it.
Remember the sketch from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. Because they're all... You remember the plot? Did you know the plot at all? Pat, you know, as...
Nobody knows if Pat's a boy or a girl.
Exactly. The character from the SNL skit. And
which is a great sketch for 3 minutes.
It's true. But Pat had a neighbor, a male, that was sexually attracted to Pat. And the whole movie, he's trying to find out if Pat is a male or female to know if he's straight or gay. He has no idea. And so the whole time, Pat gives these kind of teasers to which sex he or she is. And he thinks he's on to it, but then it's all a scam. So, like, Pat falls down the stairs, grabbing their crotch, my nuts, and pulls out, like, broken chestnuts from her pocket. My nuts are broken.
And this is a movie.
Yeah.
For 2 hours, this happens.
Wakes up, walks out of the bedroom. The guy's like, is that a banana in your pocket? Or are you happy to see me? Oh, it's a banana.
What's the running time for It's Pat?
Probably about an hour 30. Ween the band is in there.
78 minutes.
Hour 28. Wow. That's an hour. No, that's an hour 18. That was an hour 18.
Wow.
Continue the Touchstone, though. Sorry.
Julia Sweeney, Dave Foley, Charles Rocket, who's a Saturday Night Live alum.
Uh-huh.
The film based on the SNL character Pat, created by Sweeney.
Created by Sweeney.
Todd. Jerky Boys, the movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm a huge Jerky Boys fan.
Are you?
Yeah, I had a lot of their albums, their CDs.
Wow.
I did.
I'm sorry. I can't believe Alan Arkin was in that movie.
Yeah. We missed it. Was Roxanne not a Touchstone? It had a Touchstone feel to it.
It did, didn't it?
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen Roxanne. That would have been the 80s.
The 80s, yeah. Okay, I was waiting for that to come up.
So let me go through the 80s.
No, I believe you. I believe no Roxanne.
Oh, you know what we did miss in 1989?
What's that?
Gross Anatomy.
That's funny.
Matthew.
Modine.
Damn Modine.
Have I told you my story about Gross Anatomy recently?
Yeah, you were Googling it.
Yeah, so I'm watching Stranger Things with my fiance. I'm like, oh, sweet, Matthew Modine's in here. She has no idea who he is. So as before he comes up, I'm Googling on my iPhone who Matthew Modine is. But the first thing I can think of when I think Matthew Modine, I think Strange Anatomy. Or Gross Anatomy, sorry.
Not Vision Quest?
Not Vision Quest, but Gross Anatomy. So I Google Gross Anatomy on your phone. Don't do that. Always add Matthew Modine afterwards. And she's kind of confused. Like, why the hell are you looking up Gross Anatomy for Matthew Modine?
Matthew Modine has a very impressive filmography.
Yeah, kind of.
You forget. He was in Bye Bye Love.
And was it Platoon? No. Hamburger Hill? I can't remember.
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket. That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one I remember. That's probably the one I remember him most.
Yeah.
He was in Memphis Belle.
Did you ever see Hamburger Hill?
That
was a crazy one.
I can't remember. All those Vietnam movies seem to run together a little bit. No, I don't think Roxanne was...
It seems very Touchstone-y.
It does. It does have that feel to it.
I like Roxanne, though.
Daryl
Hannah. Where have you gone, Daryl?
Did I mention Sister Act 2 back in the
You did mention that, yeah. So
Jerky Boys the movie. Okay, here we go.
I see Sister Act 2, I think Kathy Najimy, and I also think Hocus Pocus. Was that not on here?
No.
Really?
Not a Touchstone movie.
Was that just a straight-up Disney movie?
I don't think so.
It had to be.
That seems more Dimension Films.
Dimension.
Mad Love.
Hmm.
Father of the Bride 2.
Nice. So many. I think Martin Short is a Touchstone player,
and he does. He's got that. He loves that Disney money.
Yeah.
What else? Phenomenon in 1996.
Here's the downfall. Here we go.
Phenomenon.
This
you didn't like that.
This is where it starts.
The John Travolta vehicle.
This is where it starts
with the soundtrack from Babyface and Eric Clapton.
You remember what the actual story would happen with that, right?
Phenomenon.
Yeah.
He was in no.
That was Michael.
That was Michael.
They were like 6 months apart, so I understand the confusion.
Yeah, but he had supernatural powers.
He thought he did. He actually had a brain tumor and he dies.
Well, nobody's really seeing that movie now.
That was a weird time for that and Powder both came out. And they were very like somber. People have special powers, but they're different, but we feel bad for them kind of thing. It was weird. A weird time. Is Powder Touchstone?
Not on this list. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, these movies, it seems like maybe Touchstone is winding down in the mid-90s.
With Phenomenon, it has that feel. Yeah.
But then, this will change your mind.
Okay.
Kazam.
Ah.
That's right.
There we go.
With Shaquille O'Neal.
That's good. We're bringing it back. Post-Blue Chips, pre-Steel.
The Preacher's Wife.
Oh. A little Whitney action.
Now this is interesting.
Yeah.
This is when Disney... decides to team up with Jerry Bruckheimer.
Ah.
So now you get the Jerry Bruckheimer production company working in conjunction with Touchstone Pictures and Disney to bring us such films as Con Air. And Face Off.
Not Nolte. It's the Nolte era, isn't it?
Yeah. Or Cage.
Yes.
Nicolas Cage.
Sorry. Yes.
But also Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion from 1997.
Well, like I said, we're kind of going down here.
Air Force One.
Mm.
Mm. Get off my plane. Wait, that was wrong. It would be more like, get off my plane.
There you go.
You didn't like Air Force One?
Eh.
I enjoyed it.
Harrison Ford is only good as Han Solo. That's it.
No.
I don't like any other role. Nothing. Name them. I don't like it.
Indiana Jones.
I like your edit there. Never saw it. Continue.
Starship Troopers.
That was all right. Had a good scene.
Armageddon.
You know, I never saw that.
You've never seen Armageddon?
I know what it's about, and the whole animal cracker scene. I've seen it all. I just never saw it.
I could steal.
Yeah, see.
Snake Eyes. Another Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Touchstone movie. Rushmore.
Ah, weird. Okay.
Did you like Rushmore?
I did like that, yeah.
I thought that was a great movie.
That's a very odd Touchstone movie.
And so is The Waterboy.
I always get Rushmore and Pecker mixed up. Did you ever see Pecker?
Yeah, yeah, I guess I could see that.
You see the Pecker.
The Waterboy was a Touchstone movie.
Wow.
Enemy of the State, another one of Jerry Bruckheimer's films. The Other Sister.
Don't know that one.
Oh, you don't know The Other Sister?
I don't think so. What's that about?
It's one of the Gary Marshall movies.
Ah.
It had Juliette Lewis in it.
Ah, what happened to her?
What else? Summer of Sam, which is kind of a Brave movie.
That was, yeah.
Runaway Bride.
Mm.
The 13th Warrior.
Oh, no.
Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo. Bicentennial Man.
Ooh.
Robin Williams.
That was a tough one to watch.
And then it gets even weirder in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. That kind of gets us through the 90s. In the 2000s, we start getting movies like Mission to Mars, High Fidelity. Which I thought High Fidelity was really good.
It was good. First time I saw Jack Black.
They still had the Bruckheimer deal, so they got Gone in 60 Seconds and Coyote Ugly. Both Jerry Bruckheimer movies. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Okay.
Was a Touchstone picture.
Wow. Coen and Disney have a tie there, huh?
Pearl Harbor. But then also Bubble Boy and Corky Romano.
Ah, you see? Man, their range is so vast.
The Royal Tannenbaums. And remember, these are all Disney movies.
That's crazy.
Oh, Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Let me jump down here to... once the DreamWorks company was founded, and Steven Spielberg's part of that, DreamWorks entered into an agreement with Disney, and they would use Touchstone Pictures to basically be a distribution company for DreamWorks. So you start getting into a bunch of DreamWorks movies in the 2000s, and even into the 2010s. And there's some weird ones on here. Did you ever see Deja Vu? The movie.
Oh, no, I did not.
Not the adult club in Nashville.
I did not.
Deja Vu is actually really good.
Really?
Yeah, I watched it not that long ago. I'd never seen it, and it was on TV or on cable or something.
As good as Blaze or better?
It's a totally different movie than Blaze.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of a time travel movie.
Oh.
With,
like a time traveling strip club or like a...
No. It was directed by Tony Scott.
Okay.
But it takes this unique approach to time travel. Mm-hmm. And basically, Denzel Washington's character realizes he can time travel. Oh. Jim Caviezel's in it.
Really?
And...
Time traveling Jesus.
Val Kilmer's in it. It's like, it could be the last real movie Val Kilmer did that wasn't Mick Gruber.
He's not dead yet.
But what's cool about it, and watching it the other night, one of the minor characters is the kid from Daredevil. That plays his partner.
Oh, Foggy?
Foggy.
Really?
Plays Foggy Nelson.
Huh.
Yeah. I can't remember the actor's name. He's in it.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Wild Hogs.
Oh.
And let me jump down to here to the some of the 2010 movies. See, they get really weird because now they're just DreamWorks movies like Lincoln.
Really?
Lincoln was technically a Touchstone picture.
Weird.
The Need for Speed was a DreamWorks Touchstone
movie.
They
hyped that up so much. Oh, man.
And the last one to come out was last year's Bridge of Spies, last October.
Really?
With Tom Hanks.
Huh.
So here's the deal. At this point in time, Touchstone Pictures, responsible for all those great memories I just gave you, or just reminded you of, is now just a distribution company for DreamWorks. That contract ends this month.
Really?
So it is possible that after August, well, I think they have one more movie slated for September, a movie called The Light Between Oceans. It's going to be a DreamWorks Touchstone picture. That's in September, next month. After next month, it's possible Touchstone Pictures will go away forever.
That's sad. That can't happen.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Well, one of the things that happened was Disney founded this to be the PG and up arm mm-hmm. of Disney. But then when they had that agreement with Jerry Bruckheimer Films and Jerry Bruckheimer did Pirates of the Caribbean, since it was a ride at Disney World, Disney decided to go ahead and brand that as a Disney film. And in branding a PG-13 movie as a Disney movie, it seemed to work. So that was another, you know, kind of slash against Touchstone. Plus, then Disney decided to go out and start buying, you know, Star Wars.
Yeah, Marvel.
And Marvel. Or Lucasfilm and Marvel films.
Yeah, kind of big names.
Yeah, and so now, you know, you can just tell that all their money is sunk in. So now they don't have the money to go out and buy 12 movies mm-hmm. to release under the Touchstone banner in 1 year.
And you go to the Disney store, and so many franchises and licenses, you had no idea. I mean, Power Rangers are owned by Disney now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, it's not even really announced or known, but it's all Disney. It's all under that umbrella.
Eventually, Disney will own you.
That's true. That's true.
Adam, maybe brought to you by Disney.
Can we thaw out Walt Disney, as the urban legend goes, and have him run for president? Come on.
I'd vote for the corpse of Walt Disney.
The corpse of Walt Disney.
Before either one of these clowns.
Good point.
Who's with me?
Yeah, hear ye, hear ye.
So there you go. A brief history of Touchstone Films.
I like that.
Touchstone Pictures.
I like that a lot.
Before we go, I wanted to do this. Are you a museum guy?
Eh.
Do you like to go to the museum?
I've dabbled in the museums.
What kind of museums do you go for?
The last museum I was at was the Tennessee State Museum.
Did you see the mummy?
Was that in there?
Uh-huh. There's a mummy in the Tennessee State Museum.
It's been a long time.
What year was this?
Oh, 7, 08.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was like a decade.
More of a wax kind of guy. I love aquariums.
I like aquariums.
It's like a moving museum, an aquatic museum.
The last museum I was in was probably the World War II Museum last summer in New Orleans.
No, Titanic Museum. That's the last one I was in.
That was where was that?
Pigeon Forge.
It's a real museum.
It's things from the Titanic.
Is it really things from the Titanic?
Yeah, they're official, yeah.
I've seen the museum from the road.
Yeah.
You can't miss it.
Yeah.
It looks like the Titanic.
Exactly. It's pretty. If you like Titanic, it's very cool. It's awesome.
Didn't you say there was a country music artist that performed at the opening?
Neil McCoy.
And also a TV host?
Regis Philbin, Cut the Ribbon. It was like a beautiful dream of mine, but it was real life.
That's weird.
There you have Regis up there cutting the ribbon, Neil McCoy with his big guitar and his hat.
If only a small TV was showing Mama's Family in the background.
It's true.
But yeah, I went to the World War II Museum. That was really good.
Uh-huh.
Very good.
Really?
Really well done. I still get emails from them today.
Oh, really?
And but my favorite museums are probably the Smithsonian Museums.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time, but they're good.
Mm-hmm. Like the, what is it, the Air and Space Museum?
Mm-hmm. Do the many museums at casinos count?
Well, I don't think so. But okay. What have you been to that's a mini museum?
Oh, like, was it Hollywood? No. Hollywood Casino, yeah. And Tunica has like little cars and things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have like Hollywood props.
It's a mini museum.
Nah, I don't think so. Does that count?
I think so.
No.
I felt museum-ish when I was there.
Just because you were standing in front of the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
That's and the Jackson Car Museum we were at.
Oh, we did go to the car museum.
Counts,
now
right?
That counts as a museum.
Okay.
That wasn't that long ago.
No, 3 years
ago. That's been within the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And then we went from that car museum to go see other cars in a casino.
If someone asks, what are in the past 5 years, what museums have you been to? I would say the Jackson, Tennessee Car Museum with General Lee, and I went to see Neil McCoy and Regis Philbin at the Titanic Museum. They would think I'm a strange fellow.
Well, they wouldn't be wrong. Well, here's a list of strange museums.
Okay.
Since you like strange museums,
that's my jam.
These might be up your alley.
Okay.
The Dialysis Museum.
Oh, wow, really?
More than a dozen kidney dialysis machines are among the items displayed at this museum, based at the Northwest Kidney Centers in Seattle.
Wow.
So, they date back to the 1940s.
Wow.
You could see how dialysis worked in the 1940s.
Wow.
The International Banana Museum.
How does that work?
20,000 banana-related items.
Wow.
That's going to be in Mecca, California.
So, yeah, keep going. I'll talk later.
I know you would go to this next one.
Give it to me.
The International Cryptozoology Museum.
Oh, yes, I would. Totally. Where is that?
You can find this in Portland. Portland, Maine.
Oh, man.
It boasts many rare and unique pieces of remarkable evidence of contested creatures like hair samples from abominable snowmen and Bigfoot and fecal matter from a Yeti.
Don't say it with that tone in your voice. I hear you mocking it as you say it.
Hey, guys, let's go see the fecal matter of a Yeti.
Shit. I would love to see that.
What were you going to say about museums?
Oh, speaking of Titanic and Pigeon Forge in the Gatlinburg area, that is a mecca of all kinds of shitty museums. I went to the, I walked past it. The world's largest salt and pepper shaker museum there.
No, you didn't.
I promise you, it's right there in Pigeon Forge. Check it out.
Oh, man.
Actually, that may be Gatlinburg, yeah. But it's all connected.
Gatlinburg, it's just...
The world's largest, man, salt and pepper shaker museum.
It is. That is an interesting strip to walk down in Gatlinburg. So many t-shirt stands.
Yeah, airbrushing's still cool there.
It's the only place I've actually seen a t-shirt that said FBI on the front
yeah.
and female booty inspector on the back. The only place I've ever seen that. What about the International UFO Museum and Research Center?
That sounds awesome, too.
Guess where that is?
Where, Roswell?
New Mexico. Oh, yeah. Describing itself as the serious side of the UFO phenomenon.
Oh, they're not serious side of that?
The museum seeks to educate the public about all things UFO. How about the Kansas Barbed Wire Museum?
What?
Featuring 2,400 varieties of barbed wire dating back to 1874.
It sounds tetanusy.
When the first barbed wire was designed and patented.
Wow. Tour host, your tour guide, Mick Foley.
If that's not up your alley.
Barbed wired alley.
Perhaps the Kazoo Museum would be.
Oh.
That's going to be in Beaufort, South Carolina. It pays homage to what it describes as one of the America's only homegrown musical instruments.
Speaking of Beaufort.
The Kazoo.
I was once in the Beaufort Pusser Museum.
I've been to that one, okay. too. I've been to that one. You can see the bat that he actually used to break up bootleggers. Yeah, and
the old stick.
Illegal poker games.
Yeah, yet another story from my childhood ruined by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Thank you.
Thanks, Rock. How about the Museum of Miniature Houses and Other Collections?
Okay.
That's going to be in Camel, Indiana. It's devoted to dollhouses, as well as miniature items that decorate dollhouse interiors.
That's possibly pretty creepy.
It sounds creepy.
Yeah.
And the picture they have online.
Pretty creepy?
It looks creepy, too. The Museum of Osteology.
Like porosis?
Yeah, it's the study of bones.
Oh, okay.
So expect to inspect skeletons galore at this Oklahoma City Museum. Oh, look, Hank. Ooh. The Oklahoma City Museum of Osteology.
I think all museums have a tendency to be creepy if you think about it.
More than 300 skeletons of both humans and animals are on display. More than 400 animal skeletons.
Like something mentally has to be wrong with you to collect salt and pepper shakers, to collect bones, to collect dollhouses.
You know,
that many to have a museum? There's a problem there.
I went to an exhibit called Bodies.
Wait, I've seen this. Where was that?
This was in a mall. It was like a traveling exhibit.
That's familiar, yeah.
Called Bodies.
Yeah.
I went with Brooklyn. And I got to tell you, that was one of the most fascinating things I've been to. Yeah, and it was like this. It wasn't just skeletons, but it was like muscle and, I mean, probably not for the weak of heart or weak of stomach. There were some pretty grotesque things in there, but it was, or maybe it's called Bodies in Motion was the name of it.
Yeah.
But it was like a traveling exhibit. It was pretty interesting. The National Museum of Funeral Homes.
You see? That's creepy.
That's going to be in Houston.
Wow.
In Houston, you got caskets and coffins. What you got? Caskets and coffins and hearses.
Not a bad deal.
The Plumbing Museum.
That's a bunch of shit.
In Watertown, Massachusetts.
Ah, that's funny.
The Salem Witch Museum.
That would be cool.
That's in Salem, Massachusetts.
But creepy.
Apparently, Massachusetts, home of the weirdest, strangest museums.
I believe so.
Now, here's one that we would both enjoy. The Silver Ball Museum.
Like from Phantasm?
The No. That would be good, too. The museum and arcade is located in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And recently opened a second location in Delray Beach, Florida. 600 classic pinball games and other arcade games rotate between the two locations, and you can play them. You can purchase an entrance ticket based on the length of time you wish to spend there. So,
really?
Yeah. So there it is. Just some fun and interesting museums across the country.
And in case you're curious, I'm on the Salt and Pepper ShakerMuseum.com for Gatlinburg. Odd hours they have. They're only open 4 hours a day.
What?
10 until 2 p.m.
Come on down, 10 to 2.
But on Sunday, only open from 12 to 4.
Sunday. Well, they got to go to church.
You got to get your church in first.
Yeah, you got to get your church.
4 hours. I mean, if you have that many salt and pepper shakers, I want a good 6 hours to go through this. They also have a sister museum in Spain.
In Spain?
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
Like the country or in Spain, Montana?
I think Spain, the country. That's pretty awesome, right?
And then they swap up, like sometimes some will
maybe
be
maybe they
one.
Have like new things.
If you were to open a museum, what would it be?
Oh, man. I think a video game museum would be cool. I'm sure that's somewhere of some kind, but like a video game history museum.
Well, that's what this last one was. Silverball.
Really?
Pinball and arcade.
Right, yeah.
Were you not listening? I'm sitting right here.
I thought you meant like...
I'm sitting right here in front of you.
Pinball and arcade. I mean like actual cartridges and, you know...
Oh, like a console museum.
Sure. I mean gaming of all kinds. Pinballs would be included, but all of it.
All of it?
Yeah.
Even tabletop gaming?
Even like a beachhead virtual reality from 1995.
That's interesting. Oh, I remember that. The circle that you would stand
in. Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. Here at the Salt and Pepper Shaker Museum,
yes.
Last I'll talk about it, they do have a $60 million salt and pepper shaker.
Why is it worth so much?
It's coated in gold, my friend. Look at that. Isn't that crazy?
What are those people doing?
We can't talk about that, but it's worth $60 million.
Where does it come from? Is that as old as it looks?
I think so. Yeah.
It looks Greek.
Yeah.
Like ancient Greece.
Wow. It's called the $60 million salt cellar shaker at the Salt and Pepper Shaker Museum.com.
Do we know who is supposed to be represented in that?
I have no idea. It looks like a trident. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I did see a trident.
Oh, the number one asked question in the museum by the tour guides or to the tour guides is, which shaker has the most amount of holes? Salt or pepper? And the definitive answer is, it depends. Isn't that weird?
It depends on what?
Where you're, like the location. The number of holes in salt and pepper shakers varies by culture, health, and taste. Here in the United States, excessive salt is considered bad for you, so the salt shaker is the one with the fewer holes. But in parts of Europe, it's the other way around, where salt has more holes than the pepper shaker.
I think it's if the salt has iodine in it.
You think so?
I think the more iodine you have in your sodium, the better you are.
Yeah.
The better it is.
Wow, this is really deep. I'm not going to spend an hour on this page here. Okay, maybe later on.
Well, what else would you like to...
It's just a lot of stuff. How the culture change of salt and pepper shakers.
Well, and educate us. Let us know.
They have one here. This pepper shaker has 10 holes on it where the salt has one. That's not a world I want to live in.
One for the salt.
One salt.
10 for the pepper. I really don't use a lot of salt.
You use a lot of pepper.
I do like pepper.
I'm more of like a... I like to crack my own.
What does that mean?
You know, like, I mean, grind it. Like the grind.
Oh, the pepper.
Yeah.
Like a pepper mill.
Yeah.
You like a pepper
mill.
And
same for salt, like a good sea salt cracker grinder.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I haven't used the classic Lady with the Umbrella in a long time. Morton?
Morton shit.
Because they don't... Do they make small Mortons? I've always had to, like, pour the big Morton in my hand and sprinkle it.
Well,
like I call this the tale of the salty macaroni.
I think what you're supposed to do is have a salt shaker.
That's what I'm missing out on.
That you would use to pour into the salt shaker.
Where could I find a salt shaker? Maybe at the Salt and Pepper Shaker Museum.com.
I bet they would have some you could buy. Official. You don't have a salt shaker?
I've never, not an official one. I mean, you don't use those. I've had those, you know, with dogs and asses and pigs and little baby doves.
Not those.
You don't actually use them.
But just a small... circular salt shaker you don't own.
I've had the disposables, but they remind me of Hardee's breakfast, and I can't eat that.
Why do you buy disposable?
Because if you have the real ones, it's like a pig ass and a donkey, and you don't use those. It's either you have them for decoration and don't touch them, or you have the disposables. It's like Hardee's or Cracker Barrel.
I'm pretty sure you can find a salt and pepper shaker that is, you know, not a nonsensical.
You know what I mean? Like the disposable salt and pepper.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I saw a baby one time just all in its mouth. Like, parents did nothing about it. And I'm like, oh my God, I can never use one of those disposables again.
Me and my friends, when we were younger, we'd go to restaurants and, you know, tamper with the
It was fun.
Salt shaker.
It was fun.
Then stand back and watch. You're an idiot.
So I'll buy some, because I always use they're disposables, you could say, but they're glass bottled grinders for salt and pepper.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the sea salt especially.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the peppermill.
If you're fancy, you go Pink Himalayan.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
Good to know.
The weird thing is,
notated.
I'm no scientist, but I would imagine, and I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, every salt is sea salt that comes from the sea. I'm just saying. Think about that for a bit.
You could be onto something.
You give me a salt that isn't from the sea, and we'll talk. That's all I'm saying. Just think about it. Think about it. All salt the sea. It's the man trying to keep you down to spend more money on that sea salt.
Gotta get that sea salt money. I enjoy sea salt.
Me too.
And it does taste different.
It does. Yeah. I think it's a coarser grind.
Yeah. And I think the chemical makeup is different.
Yeah.
In sea salt.
You know what else is good? Some pretzel salt. Man, I could eat that up.
Pretzels are good.
I used to have a special spray nozzle. I'd have those microwavable pretzels, and I would spray it down like they have the haircut places.
With what?
With water. And then you dip your pretzel in your salt.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like I filled it with butter, and then I would just spray
it
down.
Butter and L.A. looks. And I just sprayed it down and dipped it in my salt.
Butter and L.A. looks. Oh, wow. Pips?
Yeah.
We talked about Pips.
Pips are back.
Touchstone Pictures.
AT&T is now owning DirecTV, or vice versa. I'm not sure who owns who.
One day Disney will own everything, just like they own Touchstone Pictures.
Walt Disney running for president in 2016.
I would vote for the dead corpse of Walt Disney over Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Some places
or
in the world.
Or even the disembodied head vote for.
Yeah, that's true. Some places have one salt pecker. Wow. Salt, have one salt hole compared to a tin pepper hole. Not 10 pecker holes. One salt hole to 10 pepper holes. That's hard to say. That's a tough one.
Pecker holes.
So that happens.
I think we should stop.
We should record live from the Salt and Pepper Shaker Museum.
Like get some press passes?
Yeah.
Set up
a remote under a tent. Get out some free stuff.
We're a Pepper Podcast. Perhaps you've heard of us.
Pepper
the Peppercast.
That's
pepper
good.
Pods.
Yeah. Ooh, I like pepper pods.
Our fans would be called pepper pods.
I like that.
Ooh. Not pepper pots.
Uh-huh.
Pepper pods. Because we're a podcast, see?
I like that.
Yeah, see?
Or the saltines.
Oh.
More of a cracker vibe, but I like it.
Even better,
mm-hmm.
The saltines.
Yeah.
Our friends could call themselves saltines now.
That's true. That's true.
Nothing really stopping. They could choose.
Yeah.
You choose. Would you rather be called a pepper pod or a saltine?
Let us know on Instagram and Twitter at Adam and JP if you want to.
Or send us an email.
Yeah.
AJP@AdamandJP.
Do that.
Do it all at AdamandJP.com. I'm Jay Patrick. That's Adam.
This is the Adam and JP Show. Face Sealer.
This has been a production of the Adam and JP family of On Demand Talk Radio.
Adam and JP.
Right now.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.